Okay, we're on the Gemara Makas Yud Amid Aleph. We're part of the Agadah to Gemara. We're going through explaining certain psukim. So we were in the middle of explaining this pasuk of one who loves money who is not satisfied by money, and me who is again, and he says, and the and whoever loves a multitude has no produce. So we first gave one explanation dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu. He was not satisfied with one mitzvah. He wanted to do another mitzvah, etc., etc. And now I'm frozen. Gotta wait till it gets back on track. And then we said, who's the one who can teach Torah to the masses? That's the one who is has lots of produce. He has lots of knowledge of Torah. V'hainu d'amar Rabbi Elazar, and this is in line with Rabbi Elazar said, "My dechsev." What does it mean when it says in Tehillim, "Mi yemalel gevuras Hashem"? Who shall utter the mighty acts of Hashem? Yashmiya kol tilosol. Who can declare all His praise? What does that mean? It means lemi noa lemalel gevur Hashem. For whom is it fitting to utter the mighty acts of Hashem publicly? The one who is able to, Mishiyochel Hashmiya Kol Tehilaso, one who is able to declare all his praise. What does that mean? Due to his Torah knowledge. If you have Torah knowledge, then you're able to praise Hashem publicly. Okay, that's one interpretation. And now the Gemara gives another interpretation of this very same pasuk that we did before this. V'rabbanan, but the rabbis, the same, and some say, is Rabba Bar Mori Omar the following. This last clause of the pasuk, "Mi ohev behaman lo savua," he who loves a multitude, to him is produce. It means, "Kol ha ohev behaman lo tavua." Whoever loves abundance, meaning those who possess an abundance of Torah knowledge, so lo tavua, to him shall be granted the produce of Torah. What does that mean? Rashi says, whoever loves Torah scholars, to him shall be granted the produce of Torah. The Torah remain with him and his children. This is in line with other teachings. One who loves Torah scholars will have children who are Torah scholars. So if you love those who are studying Torah, you should be able to produce your own within your own family. So now, that was a nice statement. Do we have any examples of this? The rabbis, they focused, when they said that drasha, they focused their eyes on Rava Brei de Rabba, Rava, the son of Rabba. Why? Because Rabba was outstanding in his love for Torah scholars, and indeed his sons, like Rava, were scholars as well. Okay, now we continue a few more insights into this idea of studying Torah and teaching others. So this, the mnemonic device, the siman is Ashi, Lilmod, Ravina, Lalamed. So it's four words that give us to help us remember this. So we start with Ravashi. Ravashi says, "Kol ha'ohev lilmod behamon lo tva," back to that pasuk, whoever loves to learn in a multitude, to whom shall be produce. Okay. So, meaning true success in Torah study comes to those who study together with others. V'hainu d'omer Rav Yosi v'Rav Chanina. That's what Rav Yosi v'Chanina says. My dechsev. What does the pasuk mean in Yirmiyahu? Cherev al habadim v'no alu. The sword to the badim, to the individuals, and they shall become fools. Okay, what does that mean? Cherev al savarei sonem shel talmid chachamim. Now we're using a euphemism now. A sword should be used against the enemies of talmid chachamim, but really it means talmid chachamim. A sword should be on the necks of talmid chachamim. Why? In other words, it should be killed. Why? Sheyosvim va'oskim b'Torah. They do learn Torah, but it's bad bevad, individually, without a partner. This guy's learning by himself. This guy's learning by himself. This guy's learning by himself. They're not learning together as a group. So not only you should deserve to get killed for that. Not only that, Ela Shem Mitapshin. You become foolish as well. How do we know? Because Ksivah says over here, Vino Alu. And what, where else do you see a word similar to No Alu? Ksivah some. And it writes somewhere else, Asher Noalnu, which we have acted foolishly. So you see the word Noalu means to be foolish. So what do we see from here? One who learns on his own and is not exposed to the thoughts and insights of others will not refine his ideas and correct his errors. Consequently, he's likely to make foolish mistakes that will almost inevitably lead to an inadvertent transgression of the laws of the Torah. So that's why he deserves to be killed.
Where's Hassan?
I'm sorry?
Where's Hassan?
Where's what?
Hassan.
Oh, you want to know where Hassam is? We just had it. It's in Bamidbar. You want to see the pasuk over here? There. Vayomer Aaron al Moshe, Bi Adoni al Nosa Sheis Aleinu Chatos Asher No Alnu Vasher Chatanu. I beg you, do not cast a sin upon us, for we have been foolish and we have sinned. All right. So that's over there. So that you see that over there, it means foolishness. Okay.
How do you relate that to studying individually?
Because you make a lot of mistakes.
I understand that.
No, we're just showing you the word Noalnu. What does the word Noalnu mean? So we found another place where Noalnu clearly means foolishness. So in our pasuk here, it says foolishness.
Okay.
That's what it's saying. Cherev al Badim, this was the pasuk. Cherev al Badim vin Noalu. So what does the word Noalu mean? So we have a similar word by Aaron where Noalu means acted foolishly.
Yeah.
So they deserve to get killed and they become foolish. They don't know the halacha properly. Not only that, Ela Shechotim, but they sin because of their behavior. As it says, Shenemer Vasher Chatanu. The pasuk continues after it says, and we were foolish. Where he said, we're foolish for Sher Chatanu, and we sinned. So that's one proof that Noalu means foolishness. Some bring up the proof from somewhere else. Some say from this place in Yeshaya, where it says, Noalu Sare Tsoan. The officers of Tsoan have become fools. Okay, so that's another source that foolishness leads to sin. Okay. Next point, another interpretation of the original pasuk. Ravino Amar, Kala Oev Lilmot Behamon Lotvua, back to that pasuk. Whoever loves to teach the multitude to whom shall be granted produce. Okay, so what does that mean? So see, Rashi says, one who teaches a multitude of disciples will become wise. Because when you discuss that and you have to question and answer, it broadens your own understanding. So we're talking that the teacher becomes wise because he teaches Torah to the multitudes. V'hainu d'amar Rebbe, and this is what Rebbe says, the famous statement, Harbe Torah lamadi b'rabbosai, I learned a lot of Torah from my teachers. U'mechaveira yosemem, and from my colleagues, I learned even more than from my teachers. U'metalmidai yoser mikulam, and from my students, I learned more than all of them. So if you want to understand things really well, you teach other people, and because you got to know what to answer all their questions, and they're going to ask you questions you didn't think of, so that's going to broaden your understanding of what's going on over there. Because when you're learning from the Rebbe, you're only hearing from one person. You're trying to understand what he's saying, so that's good. You learn a lot from him. You have a lot of colleagues; they give you a lot of other insights, and the students give you the most insights from that, because if you have to teach it, you really got to know it.
Or you're going to look it up and come back to them.
You got to come back and this, and you know, they're going to think of, they're coming with fresh minds. They're going to have questions you did not think of. Okay, now we're going to continue to discuss how important Torah study is. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, my dechsev, what does this pasuk mean in Tehillim? Omdos hoyu ragleinu. Our feet were standing bisharayich in your gates of Yerushalayim. So what does that mean? Mi garam l'ragleinu shiamdu b'mochama. Well, who caused our feet to remain standing in battle? In other words, how did we have the strength to win our battles against our enemies? So that's omdos hayu ragleinu. We're able to stay on our feet in battle. What is in what merit? In the merit of Sha'arei Yerushalayim, the gates of Yerushalayim. What does that mean in the gates of Yerushalayim? Shahayu Oski Batorah, where they're engaged in the study of Torah, because we know Yerushalayim Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah. So from Yerushalayim there should be a lot of Torah studying, so our success in battles comes from our Torah study. Now that we brought Rabbi Shimon Levi, what does it mean when it says in the same chapter of Tehillim, Shir Hamalos, a song of ascents, LeDavid, Samachti, I rejoiced, Beomrim Li, when they said to me, Beis Hashem Nelech, let us go to the house of Hashem. What did he mean by that? Amar David, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David said for Hashem, Rebbeinu Shalom, Master of the Universe, Shamati Bnei, I heard people saying, Shayu Omrim, that people are saying, as I'm overhearing their discussions, Masayamu Zakein said, when will this old man die? Referring to me. When's the old king going to die? V'yava Shlomo Benova Yibana Beis HaBechira, and his son Shlomo will come and build the Beis HaMikdash. And what will we do then? V'nal El Regal, then we're able to go up for the pilgrimage festival. Remember, Hashem told David he will not merit to build the temple, but rather his son Shlomo. So people are looking forward to the Beis HaMikdash. So when David HaMelech Shom, he heard that, So what was my response? V'samachti, and I was happy that they want to serve me, even though it means they want me to die, but there's a greater good than just my life. Well, so Hashem says, you know what? Let's not minimize you being around. Amar la Kodesh Baruch, Hashem said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ki tov yom b'chatzorecha me'elef, for a day in your courtyards is better than 1,000. What does that pasuk mean? Better for me is one day when you engage in studying Torah before me is more pleasing. More than 1,000 burnt offerings that Shlomo your son will eventually bring in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, there's a story later on where he brings 1,000 animals. Okay, let's just see what this footnote says. The site of the Beis HaMikdash has already been acquired by King David, but it was standing empty, a mere courtyard, awaiting the day the temple would be built. So Hashem said, your Torah study, even while in the site of the temple that's just now a courtyard, is more precious than when it's going to function as the Beis HaMikdash. For a better understanding of that, that's what we talked about in last night's Parsha class, where we talked about how learning Torah really creates the dveikus between you and Hashem much more than the korbanos. So that's why, although it's a very important thing to have korbanos, a very important thing to serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, no question about it, but that doesn't create the intimacy. The intimacy comes from the study of Torah. Listen to last night's class and you'll know more about that. Okay, that's the end of the Agada to Gemara. We go back to the next statement of the Mishnah, that the Beis Din is required, umuchuvanosam drachim, and they have to direct roads were laid out from every city to the Ir HaMiklat. That was the next statement of the Mishnah. The Gemara now discusses this. Tanya, we learned in our Braisa, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov Omer. Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov says, turning to the top of Yud Amid Beis. Now, question is, how do you get to Ir HaMiklat? So they put up signs. Miklat, the big sign would say Miklat, an arrow, this way. Hayakasav al Parshas Drachim. When you get to a crossroads, you don't know which way to go. Right, left, forward. A sign would say this is the direction to the Miklat. Why? Kidei sheyaker harotzeach, so that the killer should recognize the right path. Ve'yipon elisham, and turn over there. How do we know that Bezin had to do that? That's going back to the pasuk that was brought in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, Mikra, what's the pasuk where we derive this fact that we should put up the sign? Miklat. It says, Tochin l'cho haderech. You prepare a way for yourself. Which means, Asay l'cho hachon l'derech. Make yourself a preparation for the way. So prepare it in a way that the killer will be able to find his way without any difficulty. So interesting. Although we use this, the Mishnah uses this pasuk that we lay out the roads directly from the city to the cities of refuge, it can certainly also mean that idea of putting the signposts so that he has to help him as much as possible to get where he has to get to. Of course, we know the famous idea that there were no signs that said this way to Yerushalayim. No signs this way to Yerushalayim. Question is why? The answer is very simple. If you don't have any signs, you got to ask. So imagine hundreds of people. Let's say you're a guy who lives somewhere, you know, let's say 50, 100 kilometers away from Yerushalayim. And this guy, another guy lives much further away. So he starts asking, you know which way to Yerushalayim? Oh, you go this way. But he's not going to be the only guy. There's going to be a lot of people telling you that. So you're going to say, hey, there's a lot of people going to Yerushalayim. Maybe I should go to Yerushalayim too. In other words, we're publicizing the fact that there are people who want to go to Yerushalayim. If there's signs, then I don't know how many people are going to Yerushalayim. The signs, but if people don't know the way, they got to ask. You got to ask. That gets people more involved in doing that. That's all. And it may take a little longer to get to Yerushalayim. That's okay. That's all part of creating this atmosphere of people knowing that there are people going to Yerushalayim. Remember, there's no social media. So you have no idea. If there's social media, people are going to take selfies that you're by the Kotel and this and that. Everybody knows. But without that, we don't know unless people are going to ask which way to go. On the other hand, we're trying to save a person's life that he should get to near a mikvah. Then we don't want to waste his time that he's asking people of how to get there. Okay, next point. Now we're going to see that often rabbis, before they would have discussions of certain areas of Torah discussion, they would give it an opening verse to set the context for what's going on over there. Okay, so we're going to have several examples where the rabbis, they would introduce the topic of inadvertent killers. In other words, we're learning about people who kill b'shogeg. So before we start, this is my pasuk that gives me the way I enter into this topic, the way I look at this topic. So here is Rav Chama Bar Chanina. This is how he would start the discussion of the subject of the Ira Miklah. The pasuk says, where's this pasuk? It's in Tehillim. Tehillim says, Tov v'yosher Hashem. Hashem is good and upright. Al kein, therefore, yora chatoyim baderech. He guides sinners on the ways. Okay? So what did he learn from that? Im lechatoyim yora, if Hashem guides the sinners, kal v'chomer letzadikim, all the more so Hashem should guide the tzadikim. So therefore, the Torah is talking about, he's saying that the homiletical interpretation, we give guidance that the Torah says to enable killers to find refuge. Guy killed, it was not a good thing, but Hashem, he's good. He tries to find them a way that they can be saved. So Hashem is merciful, even for killers. Certainly he's going to be merciful to those who do his will. Okay? Now, remember, he killed inadvertently. Still, there's a certain level of carelessness. So he is a certain degree of a sinner. So Hashem cares about the people who make mistakes. Certainly those who are careful not to make us mistakes. Hashem is even more careful for them and will help them out with that. So that's how he learned Rav Chama Bar Chanina. That was his opening introduction to the topic.
Isn't the tzaddikim's from the previous pasuk, he should have to ask his questions to find his way? Instead of being, if a guy kills, then he gets a signpost. From the tzaddikim, he should ask his questions to find his way. May I ask a weird question?
Is he going to Yerushalayim?
Yeah, exactly.
But we're not talking about Yerushalayim. We're talking about protecting him from danger. Yeah. We're talking about protecting someone from danger.
I see. Okay.
So we're saying if Hashem goes out of his way to assist a sinner, that he should be taken care of. Certainly Hashem should take care of a tzaddik. Tzaddikim, I don't care about them. Well, no, he for sure should care about them. So we should, that's kal v'chomer. Okay, now certainly tzaddik having to ask his way to Yerushalayim, there's nothing wrong with that. And he doesn't need protection. But if people want to harm a tzaddik, then certainly Hashem should give protection to a tzaddik if he's giving protection to a person who killed inadvertently. Okay, now Rav Shimon ben Lakish, he used this pasuk. It says this is by the pasuk regarding the one who kills inadvertently. It says, Vasher lo tzada. He did not lie in wait to kill the person, but rather, Velokim inaliado. Hashem caused it to come to his hand. So that's. Oh, I'm sorry. This is not the pasuk. This is a pasuk in Shmuel, as we'll see in a minute. Okay. Now, what is this? Oh, this is a great, great drush over here. Kasher Yomar Mishal Hakadmoni. This is to be understood as the ancient proverb that says, Mirishoyim is from Mishlei. Mirishoyim, Mirishoyim Yetzer Resha. From the wicked comes out wickedness. What do you mean the proverb of the ancient one? It's a reference to the Torah, which comes from God, who's the ancient one. So the Pasuk in Shmuel says that it is stated in the Torah that wickedness comes forth from the wicked. Now the Torah never makes such a statement explicitly. Reb Shimon Nachish explained that the verse in Shmuel is referring to a verse in Shmos that states regarding an inadvertent killer, but God caused it to come into his hand. That's very difficult to understand. Why would God cause a man to sin? Why say God caused it into his hand? Right? Must be he had a previous wickedness that went unpunished, that prompts Hashem to make things happen. So what's the proverb of the ancient one? It states that wickedness comes forth from the wicked when it teaches that God will arrange that man who sinned previously will commit another sin for which he will be brought to justice. In other words, when it says that Hashem causes it, why would Hashem cause someone to do something bad? Because we already have a concept that from the wicked comes wickedness, and now we have the famous story that I told you a few times orally, and this is the source for it. Bama kosum b'daver, what's the pasuk talking about? Bishnei b'nei Adam, there are two people. Shahargu esanefesh, two people killed two people. Echad harig b'shogeg, one killed inadvertently. Ve'echad harig b'mezin, one killed intentionally. Lizeh ain't aid him to the first killer, there's no witnesses. Lizeh ain't aid him to the father, when there is no witnesses. So since there's no witnesses, no one can be executed. So what happens? Hashem providentially arranges things to fix them up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu masmidan lepundekechad. Hashem arranges that they should come to the same inn. Zesh Arig B'mezi, the one who killed intentionally, now Yoshev Tachasum is sitting under a ladder. Vizesh Ahoyreg V'shoigig, and this one who killed inadvertently Yoreg V'sula, he's coming down from a ladder. V'noflalav, and he falls on him V'hargo, and kills him, and they're witnesses now to see what's happening. So therefore, Zesh Arig B'mezi, the one who killed intentionally, Nerik, he gets killed. Vizesh Arig B'shoigi, the one who killed unintentionally, Goyla goes into Golas. Okay. Now, of course, the Gemara does not although the Gemara does not discuss this, the first pair of victims, where there were no witnesses, must have also committed some sin that caused them to get killed. Okay. Now, if you remember, the Gemara in Sota says, nowadays a person commits a sin that was punishable by court-imposed execution times the Sanhedrin sat will be killed through heavenly intervention in a manner similar to the court-imposed execution he would have received. In other words, if he should have got a death penalty, but nobody saw it, whatever, he's going to get it anyway. Okay. Regarding why this murderer is killed by having someone fall on him, which is like stoning rather than something like beheading. Okay, it's a Tosus and Sota. It's not exactly the same punishment. It's a discussion for another time. Yes?
We understand that Hashem arranged this second sin and to have
second murder.
What? Yeah. Who arranged the first sin?
Well, that's what they're saying. There obviously had to be something from before that as well.
So who arranged that one?
You Hashem just Hashem. Back it up, Hashem too. You back it up.
So why would Hashem do that?
Because they never gave the reason.
For first one, why?
It's a original sin.
For whatever things they did that they had deserved. They must have done something else that deserved that as well. Let's just say, okay, the guy who intentionally killed somebody, there are no witnesses, let's say the victim was someone who's Michal Shabbos.
Yeah, good.
Michal Shabbos. So he should have been killed, but there was no court to kill him. So Hashem has this wicked guy kill him.
Why would Hashem cause him to be Michal Shabbos?
The guy chose to be Michal Shabbos. He free willingly chose to sin, thought he'd get away with it. So Hashem now has plenty of wicked people who could just decide to kill this guy one day. Guy's Michal Shabbos. But he never in public, just in private. So nobody knows that he's such a wicked guy. So this burglar decides to burglar this Machal Shabbos' house. And the Machal Shabbos guy says, I don't want to take my money. So he shoots him. So, or whatever. So he's taking care of Hashem's will. Nobody dies unless they're supposed to die. Now, that doesn't mean all the time someone gets killed was a Russia. There could be other circumstances that can make that happen. We're just giving one possible example of how Hashem evens things up, but there could be many other examples. Just because you see somebody gets killed by a wicked person doesn't always mean that the victim was a wicked person, but Hashem has his calculations. That's the point. Yeah?
So according to this story that was given, the guy who was killed by Mezira, I get how he dies because the guy falls on the ladder. But the guy who killed by Shogeg the first time, so this is like the second time he's killing by Shogeg.
Yes.
The first time he didn't go to
exile. There were no witnesses, so now there's going to be witnesses.
Now there's going to be witnesses.
That's not always a case of killing by Shogeg, but that's the concept.
Yeah.
This is the most important idea over here, is you got to realize there's no such thing as accidents.
Shem sees that.
Wrong person, wrong place. What bad luck he had. He happened. This guy happened under the ladder when the guy fell. There's no such thing as bad luck. Hashem knows exactly why this happens in this situation. This is one scenario in which this happens, and that's how he would start the topic of Ir HaMiklat, trying to say, listen, you could think that people are getting away with things, not getting away with things. Hashem is in charge of everything, and he makes sure that if somebody's, done something wrong, Hashem will make sure that he is dealt with appropriately. Okay, we have now another statement. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Huna. And some say it's not him. Ramele Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Elazar. We know, Min HaTorah. From the Torah, min ha-Nevi'im, from the prophets, min ha-Ksuvim, we learn from the very good. It's Nogev, this week's Parsha exactly. And from the Ksuvim, we have another interesting statement. This is what we learned three times. B'derech shadam reitza leilech, in the way that a person wants to go, you want to go this way? Ba malichin also. In that way, they lead you. Who's they? The angels that are created by man's deeds will lead you from this way. And we come to this week's Torah portion. Mina Torah, what's the source in the Torah? How do you know if somebody wants to go in a way, Hashem will bring the angels to have them go on that way? Tichsiv, because what did Hashem tell Bilam? When the messengers of Balak came to curse the Jews, Hashem said, Lo say lechi mahem. Hashem says, do not go with them to curse the Jews. Straight, first time, don't go. But then, Uksiv, it's written a little bit further on that Hashem says, Kum lechitam, go with them. All right? So why is that? Well, let's take a look. When Bilam refused the overtures of the first delegation of princes, Balak, king of Moab, assumed that Bilam had been affronted by the fact that his emissaries had not been from among the highest nobles of the land. Thus he said, the second delegation, larger number and greater in stature. Had Bilam not wished to accompany them, he could have refused them simply by reiterating that God had told him not to do so. Instead, he told them that he would seek God's reply a second time to see if he's permitted to go. Now, that's the question. If the first ones came, and Hashem said, don't go with them. Now, a second one, what should he respond to the second group? Guys, I already told you the first time I don't want to go. What do you say? Well, I'll ask God. What are you asking God for? Say, did God change his mind? Hashem says, I see you really would like to go. If you want to do the will of God, you ask me once. You're entitled to ask me once. What's the will of God? The will of God is not to go. Okay, now why are you asking God a second time if he tells you not to go? Because you're telling me you really would like to go. So Hashem says, okay, if you really like to go, then I'll let you go. You want to be bad, I'll let you go. Even though the second time he also says, go, but only say what I let you say. Right? Be that as it may, this was an indication Bilam really did want to come to them. Moreover, the verse states that God replied, if the men came to summon you, arise and go with them. Now, God certainly knew that the men had come to summon Bilam. This reply must be understood. If you think it will be to your benefit to go, then you may do so. This shows that Bilam actually wished to go, and God allowed him to go for that reason. See, so this is even if you want to do something bad. Even something bad. You want to do something bad, Hashem will let you, let you start on that. Doesn't mean to let you finish off the job. Because God did not allow Bilam to curse the Jews. But he wanted to go. Okay, you want to go so badly, I'll let you go. And that comes from the evil that a person wants to do. So Hashem says, fine. That's one source. That's from the Torah. What about from the prophets? Mina Navim. Do you see what it says in Isaiah? It says, Ani Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your Lord, Melamedcha Lo'ohil, who teaches you for your benefit. So meaning to say, Hashem will teach a man that which is good for him. Yet, the pasuk continues in the same spot over there, Madrichacha Bederech Telech, who leads you in the path you will go, which implies that although God shows man the correct path, he leads man in the path he chooses to take. Not only does Hashem show the man the path, but he'll lead him. So the second part of the pasuk is explained that God will lead man upon the path that he is traveling, that he wants to follow. Okay, that's the second one. Minaksuvim, from the writings, Dichsiv, the pasuk says in Mishlei, Im laleitzim hu yalitz, if one goes to the scoffers, he will scoff, meaning he'll become a scoffer. Ulanovim yitain chen, but if he goes to the humble, he will get grace. So we see a person's decision as the environment that he goes to will ultimately cause him to be influenced by it. So that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. Now, Marsha says that this principle that we have learned is not just a random thing. It's based on the results of a person's will. Very interesting idea, Marsha says. Every thought, expression, and action of a person causes an angel to be created in its image. If you're thinking about doing something good, let's say, I want to do this mitzvah. Let's say you get up in the morning, I want to do this mitzvah. So the way you want to go, Hashem will lead you. So how does he lead you? Your good thought that I want to go and do a mitzvah already creates angels from your good thought. It's good thought angels. Now, in other words, if they are meritorious, right, if the person is deserving, good angels are created. If evil, bad angels are created. Should he choose to perform mitzvahs, the good angels created by his will to the mitzvah will lead him on the way to perform the mitzvahs. Should he choose to do sins and destructive angels? That's if you go back to the original teaching. Let's just back it up for a second. Look at this word here. The way that a person wants to go, molichin. Molichin means they lead him. What do you mean they? It should say Hashem leads him. The answer is they. It's the malachim that are created. So you have to realize every thought you have creates malachim. Not only actions. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says every mitzvah very do creates actions. The Gemara is saying more. Your thoughts, you had good thoughts, that creates a good energy of malachim that will help you get to that. So it's important that your thoughts are also very valuable as well. Okay, let's stop it over here. We're going to get to now the next halachas of that. What happens if Gol Adam kills a person, the Shogeh, who is in the city of refuge? Good place to stop. What?
In the city of
refuge? Yeah, he's a bad guy. What do we do?